The word of God given to us today, our Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 5, is page 213 in the New Testament. I will read the words, the Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how Gentiles had been converted. This made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." Amen. 2 nights ago, all over the world, the festivals took place to greet the New Year 2011. In Seoul, also, about 8,000 people gathered at Jongno to watch the ringing of the Boshinggak bell to bring in the New Year. In each country and place where the New Year is being celebrated, there is a common feature. About 10 seconds before the midnight at which the New Year begins, the people who gather together begins a countdown. 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, and the minute the clock strikes the zero hour of January 1st, everybody yells out and greets the New Year and celebrates. Now, this scene is repeated without fail each time the year changes. But the important fact is that the New Year does not come because a huge crowd happens to gather together and yell and applaud. In Geneva, Switzerland, where I lived for 3 years also, the citizens of Geneva gathered at Plein Palais Square to celebrate the New Year. When I passed the Plein Palais Square to go to the New Year service at midnight, the square was already full of people, and a band played a loud music from an outdoor stage. After I finished attending the New Year service with the members of the Geneva Korean Church and passed by the Plein Palais Square again, the square would already be empty after the New Year celebration, and there were trash strewn here and there. New Year celebration, which begins with the loud yelling of a crowd that filled the square that seemed loud enough to pierce the sky, but ends in merely 2 hours with trash. A new year, a new day, a new hour surely does not come in such way. That empty square, filled with garbage all over the place, was the true picture of empty celebration of a new year by human beings who believe that a new year consists of just changing the calendar. Chapter 1, verse 9 of the Ecclesiastes proclaims that there is nothing new under the sun. All things under the sun without fail decay and become extinct. New things only reside in eternity. Only eternity does not decay, does not change, and does not become extinct. And this is the reason This is the reason that we greet the new year in God's words. 2 nights ago at the midnight service, and the reason that we do so in our first Sunday worship service of the new year, because only God and the words of God are eternal, and the new year, the new day, and the new hour is given only in such way. Now, there was an uproar in the Antioch church, which had been peaceful. Certain Jews who had come down from Jerusalem had begun teaching the members of the Antioch church, who were Gentiles, that Gentiles can never be saved unless they too were circumcised according to the custom of Moses. Now, Paul and Barnabas fiercely opposed them as if they were an angry mob about to start a riot, and made it clear that to teach circumcision was an absolute condition to salvation was a false teaching contrary to the gospel. Paul and Barnabas were not some outside guests, outsiders of Antioch Church who were visiting the church for a short while. They were also not just lay members. Paul and Barnabas were co-pastors of the Antioch church. If so, then it was only right that the members of Antioch church listened to Paul and Barnabas, who were their pastors, and reject the Jews who were marked as being false teachers by Paul and Barnabas, whom they had never seen before. But as we looked during the last hour, the believers of the Antioch church did not do so. They made the representatives of Antioch church, Paul and Barnabas included, to go to the mother church, Jerusalem church, and to obtain a decision from its leaders, including the disciples, the direct disciples of Jesus and apostles. Now, this decision was enough to hurt the pride of Paul and Barnabas, the co-pastors of the church, and also to make them feel betrayed, because such decision meant that as far as the teachings that claimed that circumcision was the absolute condition to salvation, the believers of Antioch church did not, and it was difficult for them to accept the words of Paul and Barnabas 100%. But Paul and Barnabas did not feel betrayed or have their pride hurt. Paul and Barnabas complied with the decisions of the believers of the Antioch church and willingly went up to Jerusalem. And they did not do so because they had to. On their way to Jerusalem, they testified to the brothers and sisters in faith whom they met, how God saved the Gentiles in the most unfathomable way through their mission journey, and made them greatly rejoice. Paul and Barnabas, because they believed in God who gave them mysterious grace, unfathomable grace in their lives, they went up to Jerusalem believing that by them meeting the apostles, the direct disciples of Jesus, face to face, God would allow the church to firmly reject the wrongful teachings and to stand strong on the gospel. Let us take a look at verse 4 of today's text. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Paul and Barnabas, who arrived at the mother church, Jerusalem church, were received by the believers, apostles, and elders. The Greek word paradekomai, which has been translated as welcomed, means greatly rejoiced. The members, apostles, and elders of the Jerusalem mother church all greatly rejoiced at Paul and Barnabas' visit.
격세지감을 느끼지 않을 수 없습니다.
Here we cannot help but feel how the situation had changed. According to Acts, since the time Paul was called by the Lord on his way to Damascus, to the time of today's text, he had visited Jerusalem church three times. The first time he visited the Jerusalem church was at least 16 years before the time of today's passage. As for his visit to Jerusalem church, first visit to Jerusalem church, who was called by his old name Saul, Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 27 testify as follows. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. The reason that Paul, who had become a Christian, first visited the Jerusalem Mother Church was to get to know the Christians there and to join them. But the believers of the Jerusalem church, far from welcoming him, did not believe that he had become a Christian to begin with and were reluctant to even meet with him. It was only after Barnabas guaranteed the sincerity of Paul's conversion that Paul was able to join the believers of the Jerusalem church. The Paul's second visit to Jerusalem church took place at least 2 years before the time of today's passage. It was a time at which it had been about a year since Paul and Barnabas began pastoring the Antioch church together. At the time, there was a great famine in Palestine, and the believers, the members of the Jerusalem church, were suffering from this famine also, and the members of the Antioch church who heard this news collected donations and sent Paul and Barnabas to deliver the donations. In connection with this, Acts chapter 11, verses 29 to 30, and Acts chapter 12, verse 25, tells us of the following. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Antioch to Jerusalem is about 480 kilometers in distance. It is a long distance. Paul had walked a long road with gifts for the believers of Jerusalem that Antioch, the members of the Antioch church had collected. But the members of the Jerusalem church did not welcome Paul. The elders of Jerusalem church received the donation from Paul, but didn't do anything else. Until that time, the members of the Jerusalem church only gave a very formal receiving to Paul. But Paul, when he visited Jerusalem church for the third time, let alone the members of the Jerusalem church, but even the apostles and the elders of the church, all welcomed him. The first time, they kept their distance from him. The second time, they only received him in a very formal way. So, how did the Jerusalem church come to welcome him with great rejoicing the third time? It was due to how Paul lived his life, and it was a result of how Paul lived his life. Initially, Paul was an ardent believer of Judaism, a young man who believed that his God-given job was to go after Christians and who are considered the apostate from the point of view of Judaism, and arrest them and imprison them. But Paul, after being called by Jesus on his way to Damascus, came to confirm that Jesus of Nazareth, whom he denied, was the only Son of God, and he was the true Messiah. Therefore, Paul while being on his way to Damascus to look for Christians, started to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ and paradoxically came to face the threat of death by Jews in Damascus, having been marked as an apostate of Judaism himself. When he narrowly escaped Damascus, Paul went through spiritual training by himself in the desert of Arabia for 3 years, and afterwards visited Jerusalem Church. This was to join the believers of the Jerusalem Church. But as I said before, the members of the Jerusalem Church did not believe in his conversion. The members of the Jerusalem Church, who knew very well Paul's past history in having trampled under church, assumed that Paul was pretending to be a believer in order to get rid of them all. And this was a natural result of how Paul lived his life, and it was a result that brought upon himself. When the members of the Jerusalem church came around to accepting Paul based on Barnabas' words, the Jews of Jerusalem who realized that Paul returned to Jerusalem as an apostate of Judaism also tried to kill him. Paul then had to head home to Tarsus and at a young age live a secluded life for no less than 13 years. On the 13th year, he became a co-pastor of Antioch Church through Barnabas due to the province of God. And 1 year later, he went up to Jerusalem Church. And after that, he, according to the will of God, went on the mission trip for the Mediterranean world. And after that, he came to spend time with the believers of the Antioch Church. When Paul claimed to believe in God but rushed ahead of God and denied Jesus Christ and trampled on the church, people did not believe in his conversion, although he had become a Christian. But after Paul met the Lord, while he was secluded in his hometown, Tarsus, for no less than 13 years, after he became the co-pastor of Antioch Church, and he became the first evangelist to be set out on a mission trip for the Mediterranean world, and after he had returned from the mission trip and spent time with the believers of the Antioch Church, he only followed after the guidance of God without going in front of God. And it was then that Paul received sincere welcome from the people who at one time avoided him and misunderstood him, and was warmly welcomed by them with a great rejoicing. This meant that Paul, who quietly followed after guidance of God, became a person who was blessed with the God's joy and a person who became welcomed by God. And from then on, Paul was able to enjoy new days in which his relationship with the Mother Church became new. People reap what they sow in their lives.
하나님을 등지거나
Those who claim to believe in God but who turn their back on God and rush ahead of Him, no matter how glamorous life they seem to lead, they are kept at a distance by faithful people. But if Now, it is possible for a person to follow after God's guidance in all things, but still be misunderstood by faithful people. But as long as he follows after the guidance of God without being moved, he will surely be welcomed by faithful people at the end. This is because God greatly rejoices over such person and welcomes them. And for Christians who believe in God, there can be no greater thing than by being welcomed by God. And as I've said in the midnight service for the new year, the motto for our church for this year has been set as the wait for the Lord, and this is the reason why the motto, why this motto was chosen. The verse 1 of chapter 27 of Psalms, which contains the prayer of David, which asks for God's help in having come upon a crisis, begins like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't this true? If God, who created the universe, is the light of the life's road, which is a jet black night, which is dark like a jet black night, and He is the Savior who delivers me from dangers, of whom shall I be afraid? If God embraces my finite life within His eternal life, then becomes a power of my life, then of whom shall I be afraid in this world? If one has such strong confidence in God, then as much as his confidence is strong, wouldn't it be natural for him to listing his wishes in a greater detail? In general, the more strong faith a person has, the prayers that person offers to God tends to be more detailed. But if we look at Psalm 27, David ends his prayer in this way: wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. David, who had been praying to God, surprisingly changes his direction and ends his prayer by telling himself the following: David, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. True courage is in waiting for the Lord. Why does the prayer of David ends by admonishing himself to wait for the Lord? It was a commitment. It was a commitment that David makes to himself not to rush ahead of God, no matter what the circumstance may be, because as much as he believes in God, because David was confident of God, he committed to himself
하나님의 인도하심만을 뒤쫓겠다고 굳게 다짐하고
Because David was confident of God, he committed to himself again and again that even if his situation were to become worse, he would wait for the Lord quietly and that he would follow after the guidance of God. True courage consists in quietly waiting for God and following after his guidance, although one may have one's own thoughts and calculations. It is to follow after God's guidance, although the situations and circumstances may contradict one's expectations. It is then that one can obtain a result from God which is most beautiful, most beneficial to all, and which does not bring ill effects. In some ways, David and Paul, who did not rush on ahead of God, but waited quietly for him and followed after his guidance, were the true heroes of faith. And so as a result, they not only received the welcome from God, but became the heroes of the Bible who receives welcome 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later from all believers transcending time and space. There are no official guidelines, but generally it is said that a church with a registered member of 5,000 or more is categorized as a large church, and a church with a registered member of 10,000 or more is classified as a mega church. Our church, having been founded 5 years and 5 months ago, and which is coming up on the 6th anniversary of its founding, is attended by 6,000 members, including 600 children and students each Sunday. If we just continue this way without much thought, wouldn't we continue on to become a mega church, going beyond just being a large church? But our goal can never be to become a big church or to become a mega church. Today, most of the problems faced by Korean churches are actually the problems of large and mega churches in Korea. There never was a time during the past 5 years and 5 months in which the goal of our church was to achieve growth. Our goal is only one. It is to become a church over which God rejoices over, a church which is welcomed by God. In order for this to become possible, then this year, as we come to the crossroad of our church becoming a mega church, and not just a big church, we must make the commitment not to rush ahead of God relying on our own thoughts and our calculations. The reason that the Korean church has become the object of distrust in the world is because each in his own way committed the foolishness of aiming to become a large church or a mega church and rushed ahead of God. For that reason, we must make the firm commitment again and again to wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and to wait for the Lord. It is only when we wait quietly for God to make our church into a church not after our wanting, but into a church that God wants and follow after His guidance, that our church, even as the years go by, will become a church which is welcomed by God, and as a result, become a church trusted and welcomed by the world. In other words, the true church which saves the world. This year too, at times, our lives may become shaken by financial problems, problems in our relationship with others, at times by illness or social problems. But even so, let us all not commit the foolishness of trying to go ahead of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Let us all become courageous people of faith who wait for God and who follow after God's guidance. No matter how insignificant we may be, God, who welcomed David and Paul, will surely welcome us during this year. And it is only then that this year will truly be a new year, and we will live as happy Christians who bring salvation to others during this year. Let us pray. Thank you for giving us the opportunity of a new year and reminding us that life of a man is about reaping what he sows. If faithful people currently shun me, help me to accept humbly that it is not because they are bad, but it is because it is the result of me not having lived faithfully. If I am living a faithful life now, then even if I may be misunderstood from other faithful people, help me not to doubt that at the end they too will welcome me. Thank you for allowing us to realize that true courage consists of not going ahead of God, but waiting for God in humility and follow after God's guidance. Help us to come to resemble David, who had to be on the run for nearly 10 years to avoid the sword of King Saul, but who not once went ahead of God. Allow us to come to resemble Paul, who had to be secluded in his hometown for no less than 13 years while he was young, but who waited for the Lord and who followed after the guidance of the Lord. May the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church become a church which brings great joy to you, a church welcomed by you. And may all of us become blessed Christians who save others during this year. And may the new year begin truly as a new year and end as a new year. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength, whatever his gracious will, and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. May this hymn be our confession of faith for this year, for all of us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.